Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update. The latest on the biggest cases we're following at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
On a cold January morning in 2022, Officer John O'Keefe of the Boston Police Department was found dead in a snowbank outside a home in Canton, Massachusetts. At first glance, it seemed like just another tragedy, but as investigators started piecing together what happened, questions arose about how the case was handled. Was it really just a tragic accident? Or was there more to the story, something that went wrong at the very beginning of the investigation? These were the questions that led to the independent audit of the Canton Police Department, which ran from November 2024 to March 2025. This audit wasn't just about Officer O'Keefe's death, it was about the bigger picture. The scrutiny that followed the investigation raised concerns not only about how the death was handled, but also about whether the police department itself was doing things by the book. The audit aimed to get to the bottom of it all, looking at whether the Canton PD followed its own rules and protocols, or if something more serious was going on behind the scenes. And imagine the scene, an external team swooping in to evaluate a police department's entire operation. They're not just checking off boxes, they're asking the tough questions. Is the department following the rules? Are they managing crime scenes properly? How are they handling evidence? Are the internal investigations into potential misconduct being done correctly? And perhaps most importantly, are they doing it all with the transparency and accountability we expect from law enforcement? This audit wasn't about speculating. It was about getting to the facts and finding out if the department's processes were up to snuff. In total, over 40 officers and town employees were interviewed, and the audit team dug through policies, procedures, and reports. They even examined how the department responded to public complaints and allegations. In short, they did a deep dive into just about everything. They weren't there to score a department. They were there to find the truth. The scope of the audit was broad. They didn't just focus on one thing or another. They examined the whole system. They looked at the department's organizational culture and how it affected operations, starting from the top all the way down. They assessed the crime scene protocols, making sure officers were following the correct procedures when responding to an incident. They looked at evidence handling, which, as we know, is a huge issue in any investigation. After all, it doesn't matter how solid your case is if the evidence has been mishandled. They also investigated the internal affairs process. This is where complaints against officers get reviewed, and if that system isn't working right, the whole department can be affected. They also checked out how well the officers were trained and whether complaints from citizens were being taken seriously and handled appropriately. It wasn't just about policing the officers. It was about understanding how well the department interacted with the community it served. This wasn't some fly-by-night review either. The audit was held to the highest standards. It adhered to USGAO government auditing standards, Massachusetts Post standards, which govern police training and conduct in the state, and the CALEA standards, which set the bar for law enforcement agencies across the country. So, this wasn't just someone coming in and taking a quick glance. They were using tried and tested benchmarks to see whether CPD was following best practices. Now, here's where things start to get interesting. The audit team uncovered a number of procedural lapses that raised serious concerns. The Canton PD had issues with crime scene management, which is a big deal. When something happens, whether it's a car accident or, in this case, a death investigation, how the scene is secured and how evidence is collected is crucial. If you mess that part up, the whole investigation is compromised. And guess what? The audit found that crime scenes were not properly preserved. In fact, the department failed to follow basic protocols in a number of key cases. Evidence was not handled with the kind of care and attention it needed, and that has serious implications for the credibility of any investigation. But it wasn't just crime scenes. Evidence handling was another major area where the audit found lapses. There were delays in transferring critical evidence like video footage from Karen Red's Lexus SUV, which could have been crucial to the case. There was no immediate or timely action taken to process and evaluate evidence. And that's a red flag. Imagine you're trying to solve a mystery and someone hands you a set of clues. But instead of analyzing those clues right away, you just set them aside and take your time. By the time you go back to them, they might not make sense anymore. That's essentially what was happening with evidence handling in this case. And one of the biggest concerns that came up in the audit was how the Internal Affairs IA process was being handled. IA is the department's system for investigating misconduct and ensuring that officers follow the rules. You'd expect this process to be rock solid, clear, transparent, and consistent. But that wasn't the case here. The audit found that the IA process was inconsistent, and there were instances where complaints were handled directly by the chief of police. That's a problem because when complaints are funneled through a single point like that, it raises concerns about potential bias or conflicts of interest. It's like having a referee who's also a player in the game. How can you trust that the decisions are being made fairly? Despite all these findings, these mistakes, lapses, and mismanagement, the audit came to an important conclusion. There was no evidence to suggest that any of this was part of a deliberate cover-up. In other words, the errors were attributed to oversight rather than intentional misconduct. There was no evidence to support the theory that anyone in the department had deliberately hid information or tampered with evidence. That's a big deal. Because there were a lot of people, especially online, who were pushing the idea that there was some sort of conspiracy within the department. According to the audit, that wasn't the case. But just because there was no cover-up doesn't mean everything was perfect. The audit wasn't just a pat on the back for the department. It wasn't saying, hey, everything is fine here, just a few hiccups. It was a call for improvement. The audit team made it clear that changes were needed in several areas. Crime scene procedures needed to be standardized. Evidence handling needed to be much more efficient, and training needed to be more focused and comprehensive. The IA process also needed an overhaul. The department needed to be more transparent in how complaints were handled, and officers needed more guidance on best practices to avoid mishandling future investigations. And at the end of the day, the audit wasn't a witch hunt. It wasn't a mission to tear down the department. Instead, it was an effort to hold the Canton Police Department accountable for its actions. The audit laid out a roadmap for improving how the department operates, particularly in critical areas like crime scene management and evidence handling. If these areas were addressed, it could help rebuild the department's credibility and improve public trust, which had been shaken by the public's perception of how the O'Keefe case was handled. The audit also acknowledged that the public's perception of the department was a huge issue. It's hard to move forward when people believe the investigation wasn't handled properly. There's this constant tension between what law enforcement knows and what the public believes. It's like when a friend tells you a story, but then you hear a different version from someone else, and it's hard to trust the first one. That's what happened here. People started questioning the department's motives, and that's something the audit recognized would need to be addressed in the future. It's not just about fixing internal procedures. It's about rebuilding the relationship with the community. As the audit progressed, one thing became clear. The issues identified weren't just about one isolated event or one flawed investigation. They were part of a broader picture, a pattern of procedural gaps and inconsistencies that were affecting the entire department. And these findings were going to need to be addressed if the department was going to move forward and restore the trust of the public. Now that we've seen the audit's findings and the major issues the department needs to address, it's clear that the road ahead isn't going to be easy. But what happens when the system that's supposed to hold everything together starts falling apart? How do you fix that? How do you make sure the same mistakes aren't repeated? That's where we're going next, into the specifics of how the Canton Police Department can move forward and the changes they need to make to avoid the same pitfalls in the future. When it comes to solving any case, especially a death investigation, the first few hours are crucial. How the crime scene is handled, how evidence is collected, and how the scene is preserved can make or break the investigation. And if you've ever watched a crime show or heard someone talk about a case, you know the one rule that everyone stresses: secure the scene and document everything. Unfortunately, in the case of Officer John O'Keefe's death, the Canton Police Department missed the mark in several key areas when it came to these basic steps. The audit revealed that when it came to crime scene management, CPD didn't just stumble, they tripped over themselves. The first failure was the most basic: failure to photograph the body before it was moved. Now, this might sound like a small mistake, but anyone familiar with investigations knows that photographing a crime scene is one of the most important steps. It's about preserving the scene exactly as it was found. Once things are moved or disturbed, that's it. You can't go back and recreate the scene. It's not like setting up a photo shoot where you can take a few extra shots to make sure the lighting's right. When it comes to crime scenes, timing is everything. And here, the body of Officer O'Keefe was moved before photographs could be taken, violating the most fundamental principle of evidence collection. This wasn't just a technicality. Moving the body without documenting the scene first opened the door for contamination of crucial evidence. And that's what this really comes down to: evidence. Contaminated or mishandled evidence is like a house built on sand. No matter how solid your theories or conclusions are, everything can come crashing down if the evidence isn't handled properly. And in this case, the failure to properly photograph the scene and secure the body before moving it raised serious concerns about evidence contamination and loss. Next, the issues with crime scene management extended beyond just the body. There was the poor preservation of the crime scene itself. When you're dealing with an investigation of this magnitude, you have to secure the area. You can't leave it to chance, but that's exactly what happened here. The Canton PD didn't maintain a consistent presence at the scene. There was a period when the crime scene was left unsecured, a critical gap in preserving the integrity of the investigation. The failure to take immediate steps to lock down the scene until experts from Massachusetts State Police arrived meant there was nothing stopping anyone from potentially disturbing the scene, whether intentionally or not. This wasn't a minor oversight. Crime scene preservation isn't just about putting up some yellow tape. It's about controlling access to the scene, keeping unauthorized people away, and preventing any evidence from being compromised. By not having a police presence there until MSP arrived, CPD risked disturbing evidence that could have been vital in solving the case. Now, if you think about it, it's almost like an architect showing up to a job site after the foundation's already been poured and realizing the ground wasn't properly leveled. You can still try to work with what's there, but you're already behind and your foundation is shaky. That's what CPD was dealing with when they failed to properly secure the scene. Everything that came after would be built on this shaky foundation. And it wasn't just about the scene itself. The evidence collection process had its own set of failures. The audit revealed significant delays in evidence handling, and these weren't minor delays. When it comes to evidence, time matters. The longer it takes to process and secure key items, the more vulnerable that evidence becomes to contamination or loss. Specifically, video footage from Karen Rudd's Lexus SUV was left sitting there, not handed over to investigators promptly. This delay, according to the audit, hindered the investigation and prevented officers from analyzing crucial evidence at a critical time. Imagine you're trying to solve a puzzle and you know one of the pieces is lying around, but it's left untouched for days. The puzzle's incomplete, and the piece that could make all the difference is just left sitting there. That's essentially what happened with the video footage. By not transferring the footage from the car in a timely manner, CPD risked missing out on potentially key information. In an investigation, time matters. And these delays were problematic because they stood in the way of getting to the truth faster. Now let's talk specifics. Officer O'Keefe's case was a tragedy, but it was also an opportunity to evaluate CPD's ability to respond to something as serious as an officer's death. The audit found that after Officer O'Keefe's body was discovered, the CPD didn't respond quickly or effectively enough to secure the crime scene. They didn't maintain a police presence at the scene while waiting for the Massachusetts State Police to arrive. This wasn't just an oversight, it was a fundamental error in crime scene protocol. If this had been any other case, it might not have raised as many eyebrows. But in a case as high profile as this, where a law enforcement officer was found dead, every detail counts. And it wasn't just about securing the area around the body. CPD officers didn't follow the proper procedures for securing the scene more generally. There's a standard procedure for how officers should handle these situations, but those protocols weren't followed. They didn't even secure the scene properly before waiting for the MSP to take over. The department's failure to protect the scene during that critical time raised questions about how well the department was really prepared to handle complex cases like this. So here's the situation. CPD was tasked with investigating the death of a fellow officer, and they didn't secure the crime scene or gather evidence in a timely manner. These weren't just small mistakes. They were serious failures that could undermine the entire investigation. And when that happens, it's hard for anyone, public or investigator, to trust that the right steps are being taken to find out what really happened. The audit made it clear that these errors in crime scene management and evidence handling weren't just about sloppy work. These failures had real-world consequences. Every step in the investigation should build on the last, creating a solid foundation for finding the truth. But with the crime scene mismanagement, delays in evidence handling, and failure to properly preserve crucial evidence, the investigation was already facing significant challenges. Now let's talk about what could have been done differently. The audit didn't just point out what went wrong. It also made recommendations on how to prevent these issues in the future. For starters, the audit recommended that all officers be equipped with crime scene kits and digital cameras to ensure that they're able to document scenes properly. It's one of the most basic steps in any investigation, and it's something that CPD clearly failed to do in this case. The audit stressed the importance of having the right tools on hand, because without those tools, it's hard to do your job properly. Officers need the right equipment to preserve the scene, photograph evidence, and collect everything they need for the investigation. Without that, things slip through the cracks. The audit also recommended more training for CPD officers in crime scene management. Crime scene management isn't something you can just leave to chance. It's something that needs to be ingrained in the department's culture. Officers need to know exactly what to do when they arrive at a scene. They need to be ready to secure the area, take photographs, and preserve any potential evidence. This training can't be left to guesswork, and it needs to be done consistently so that everyone is on the same page when a situation like this arises. The audit found that this type of training was lacking, which led to some of the failures in the O'Keefe case. Finally, the audit recommended that CPD establish a clearer evidence tracking system. Delays in processing and transferring evidence, especially in high-stakes cases, can cause serious setbacks. When evidence is delayed or mishandled, it risks losing its integrity, which can have long-term effects on the investigation. A clearer system for tracking and handling evidence would make a huge difference in ensuring that critical evidence is processed without unnecessary delays. All of this boils down to one thing: accountability. In a case like Officer O'Keefe's death, where public trust is paramount, these errors could have been avoided with proper training, the right tools, and a clear, consistent approach to handling crime scenes and evidence. The audit showed that CPD was lacking in these areas, but it also pointed to concrete solutions to fix them. By failing to properly secure the crime scene, delay evidence processing, and mishandling critical materials, CPD not only compromised the integrity of the investigation, but also placed themselves in a position where their methods and procedures would be questioned. This was more than just a bad day at the office. It was a systemic issue that needed to be addressed to avoid future problems. And with that, we're left with a department that now needs to clean up its act. The next step in this journey is understanding how the department plans to move forward, to rebuild the trust that was eroded, and to ensure that these mistakes are never made again. But that's not all. There are still deeper issues that need to be tackled within the department. And as the audit continues, so does the road ahead. Internal affairs. Those two words alone can make or break the public's perception of a police department. When complaints are made against officers, when things go wrong, or when misconduct is suspected, internal affairs is supposed to be the department's watchdog, ensuring that everyone is held accountable. It's supposed to be transparent, fair, and trustworthy. But what happens when that system isn't as clean and clear as it should be? Well, that's exactly what the audit found when it dug into the internal affairs IA process at the Canton Police Department. The audit revealed that the IA process within CPD was, to put it bluntly, inconsistent. Now think about that for a second. Inconsistent isn't the word you want to hear when it comes to investigations into police misconduct. The word inconsistent suggests that there were gaps, variations, and honestly, some things were being swept under the rug. And that's exactly what the audit found. The process wasn't standardized. There wasn't a clear, set way of handling complaints or investigations into misconduct. This could lead to unequal treatment of cases where some complaints might be taken seriously and others were buried or mishandled. One of the biggest problems the audit uncovered was the lack of separation between the leadership of the department and the IA process. You'd think that if a police officer was accused of something, there would be a clear, independent process to handle it. But no. In the case of Canton PD, many complaints were handled directly by the chief of police. And you can imagine the problem with that. When the chief of police is handling complaints about officers, there's a chance that the process could be influenced by personal bias, politics, or even a desire to protect certain officers. That's a big conflict of interest. It's like having a referee in a football game who's also playing for one of the teams. How can you trust that the decisions are being made fairly when there's that much of a gray area? But here's where things get a little more complicated. Despite all of the inconsistencies in the IA process, the audit ultimately found no evidence of intentional suppression of information regarding Officer O'Keefe's death. In other words, while the process wasn't perfect, there was no evidence that the department deliberately covered up any wrongdoing related to the case. It wasn't a grand conspiracy. It wasn't some massive effort by CPD leadership to bury the truth. The mistakes were more about mismanagement and procedural failures than malice, but still the lack of consistency and transparency in the IA process created an environment ripe for distrust and suspicion. And in a department where accountability is supposed to be at the forefront, that's a serious problem. Now, if we zoom out for a second and think about the broader picture, you can see how this all ties together. The IA process is just one part of the puzzle, but it's a significant part. It's where complaints against officers should be taken seriously, where investigations into possible misconduct should be thorough, and where the department should show the public that it's holding its officers accountable. When IA isn't running smoothly, it sends a message to the public. We're not transparent. We don't play by the same rules we expect everyone else to follow. And that's exactly what the audit found, a breakdown in transparency and a lack of clear procedures to handle misconduct claims. It didn't look like an isolated issue. It looked like part of a bigger pattern of disorganization. But let's not get too lost in the weeds here, because this all connects back to a bigger issue: the public perception of the Canton Police Department. If you've ever followed a high-profile case like this, you know how quickly public opinion can spiral out of control, especially when it comes to law enforcement. And that's exactly what happened here. The Free Karen Red movement, which gained traction on social media, became a lightning rod for public scrutiny of the department. Once the movement got going, it amplified claims that the CPD was involved in a cover-up, and that's when things really took off. This isn't just some small, isolated protest. This was a massive viral movement that quickly gained attention on social media. It spread the narrative that Karen Red had been wrongfully charged, and it cast doubts on the integrity of the investigation into Officer O'Keefe's death. The more the movement gained steam, the more public scrutiny the department faced. And the problem with that is that it's not just about the facts anymore. When a story becomes popular on social media, it can become the truth for many people, even if the facts don't back it up. People stopped asking what happened and started asking, why is the police department hiding the truth? You can already see where this is going. The public perception of the department was now in shambles. Whether or not the claims of a cover-up were true, the damage had been done. And this didn't just affect the reputation of the Canton PD. It also started to have a direct impact on the officers working there. Public scrutiny turned into harassment, both online and in person. Officers reported being harassed during their daily routines. They faced hostile comments on social media and were targeted even when they were off duty, trying to spend time with their families. This is the kind of thing that can break a department. Officers began to feel like they were under attack, and what's worse, there was a growing sense that they weren't getting the support they needed from town officials. The relationship between the Canton Police Department and the town leadership was strained, and when that happens, it only worsens the environment of distrust and frustration. It's hard to do your job when it feels like no one has your back. So now you've got a department that's struggling with internal accountability and at the same time facing external hostility. Fueled by public opinion, it's a nightmare. The audit recognized this reality and noted the serious toll it was taking on the morale of the officers. It's one thing to deal with the pressure of your job. It's another thing entirely when you're also dealing with the fallout of publicly amplified allegations that may not be based on fact. The audit was clear about one thing. Rebuilding trust was going to be a long, hard road for the Canton Police Department. But how do you fix something that's broken in such a profound way? The audit didn't just leave things hanging. It made recommendations. It didn't just point out the flaws and walk away. The audit called for the use of external investigators for IA cases where there might be conflicts of interest. The idea here is simple. When there's a potential for bias or for an investigation to be influenced by someone too close to the situation, it's time to bring in someone from the outside. This could ensure that investigations are handled fairly and that the public has confidence in the process. The audit also suggested that the department bring in a community relations officer, someone who could help bridge the gap between the police and the community. This role would be designed to improve communication with the public, ensuring that people feel heard and that the department is working to rebuild its reputation. After all, it's not just about fixing the internal processes. It's about repairing the damage done to the public's perception of the department. There was also a strong recommendation for the department to adopt training in transparency. If there's one thing that the public wanted, it was clarity. They wanted to understand what was happening and why. Without transparency, the department was just giving more fuel to the fire of suspicion. By providing more clear, open communication, especially when it comes to high-profile cases like Officer O'Keefe's death, the department could help rebuild trust over time. At the end of the day, the audit didn't find any deliberate cover-ups or evidence that CPD leadership was actively concealing the truth, but it did find a lot of room for improvement. The procedural errors in IA, the lack of transparency in handling complaints, and the public relations issues that arose were all part of the picture that the audit painted. It wasn't just about one mistake. It was about a collection of issues that contributed to the department's inability to maintain public trust. The audit's conclusion wasn't just about finding problems. It was about addressing them. The department needed better oversight, more consistent procedures, and a better relationship with the public. This wasn't going to be easy, but it was clear that the road to recovery would start with changes from within. And that's where we'll leave it for now. The audit made some strong recommendations, but the question remains, will the department take the steps needed to rebuild trust? That's something we'll have to see as the department works to fix its mistakes.
He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men, they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, she's just another case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.